those here in the room. And we're now, even though I just kept the same heading at the top of the page and just changed the number, we're not really at the point of davening versus pikuach nefesh, non-mikuach, pikuach nefesh medical care anymore, where we were talking about what did you do? You're in the middle of davening and you get a call, or you know, resuming davening after medical care. We're now really moved on from that, but I just sort of kept the heading. At some point, I'll change it. The topic is still a davening issue that comes up during medical care, specifically the issue of the all-nighter. Somebody who was doing a shift during the night and now has reached Alos HaShachar, first light, and the question is, what do they do about washing Netilas Yadayim in the morning? What do they do about Bracha and Neshama if they didn't sleep? What do they do about Berachas HaTorah? I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I think it's a familiar topic to many people because it comes up Shavuos night. So we sort of deal with it there, and it's not such a novelty. On the other hand, it's part of understanding, the halachos that come up in terms of davening and medical care. So that's why we're doing it at all. So first of all, netilas yadayim, the issue of hand washing. So we wash netilas yadayim in the morning. In Yiddish, it gets called negelwasser. And as I brought here on the sheet, you see it in the first source from the Shulchan Aruch, yirchatz yada v'yivarech al netilas yadayim. Right? In the morning, you wash your hands and you make a bracha of al netilas yadayim, and the Shulchan Aruch writes, yidantek la'aros aleihen mayim gimel pa'amim. You specifically wash three times on your hands, lahavir ruach ra'ah sheshara aleihen, to remove ruach ra'ah. Ruach ra'ah, call it a bad spirit if you like. Very, very unclear what it actually refers to, whether it's referring to something supernatural, whether it's referring to something psychological. You can debate it as much as you like. You're never going to come up with an answer. It's something there that's supposed to be manifest on a person's hands that is removed specifically by washing your hands three times. And the Mishnah Berurah writes in source base that it doesn't mean three times consecutively on one hand and then three times consecutively on the other, but rather it's rotation. So in source bays, gimel pa'amim, three times. Va'afilu shofech harbe b'pam echad eino mo'il. He says, even if you dump a lot of water on your hand, but just do it once, that is not effective. It's the three. There's something about the three. Ki ein haruach holech ela b'gimel pa'amim. Because this whatever ruach ra'a is does not leave the hands other than three times. Dahainu pam achas al yad yamin ve'achakach yad simol ad gimel pa'amim b'seirugin. Specifically, right then left, right then left, right then left. Unlike the way we wash our hands when we wash for bread, which is consecutive on each hand. And then he points out the Sefer Maaseh Rav that the Vilna Gaon actually is reported to have done this four times, not three. And the reason being, the three times get rid of the ruach ra'ah, but then it's on the water that remained on your hands. And if you do it a fourth time, then you get rid of that as well. So that's the basic just practice of netilas yadayim that's done in the morning. But lest one think it's all about ruach ra'ah, the truth of the matter is it's not. That is a reason, and we just saw it mentioned, but it's not the dominant reason. There are two reasons that are brought that are the dominant reasons for washing in the morning. Anybody know what the reasons are?
Dirty places.
Right, a person touches parts of the body that are unclean, and then they're going to daven, so they need to wash their hands. Sorry?
Stam yadayim.
Right, so that's stam yadayim askani yosei, and that's the idea that in general, hands that are not supervised, that you're not watching, are going to touch things that that may indeed be dirty. That's one concern. And the other?
Bria chadasha.
Right, bria chadasha, good. Said here and online at the same time. Perfect tandem. A person is considered to be brand new when they are born when they wake up in the morning, and that newness may actually trigger a requirement to wash. If you take a look at source Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah does a very nice job of summarizing the two points and explaining them. So first he says Yirchatz Yadav, wash his hands. Yesh al zeh shnei ta'amim, and he says there are two reasons. Harash kasav lefi sheyadayim shel adam askaniyos hein. The Rosh said, because hands are busy. It's impossible that one's hands are not going to touch some part of the body that is dirty during the night. And therefore Chazal said, we want you not just to wash, but to make a bracha on washing before you're going to say Shema, before you're going to daven. It's inappropriate to daven with hands that are dirty. And when we say dirty here, we're not talking about tumah, we're not talking about rach ra, we mean physically. It's just, there's stuff. That's the Rush's explanation for why one would wash. Vaharashba kasav, the Rashba gives a different explanation. Right, the other explanation that was brought, that Jeffrey said here, iPhone 2 said on the Zoom, that that in the morning a person is like a brand new entity after sleeping. Dichsiv chadashim labakarim rabba amunasecha. That's from Eicha. Srichan anu lahodos lo yisbarach shebro anu lichvodo lishar saul varech shemo. So we need to thank Hashem, who has created us for His honor, to serve Him, to bless His name. Val davar zeh tiknu b'shachar kol osan abrachos shenem varachim b'chol boker. That's why we have all the brachos that we make in the morning. Lachin gam davar zeh tiknu b'shachar lehiskadesh b'kedusha. So therefore, they enacted that we should sanctify ourselves with His kedusha. Velitol yadenu, and to wash our hands. And then I underlined the next words, min hakli, using a receptacle. Kohen shemekadesh yadav min hakiyor kodem avodaso, like a Kohen who's washing his hands before going into serving the Beis HaMikdash, which is done via a kli, via a receptacle. And the reason I underline that is because if I just took the reason of the Rush, who needs a kli? Soap and water. Right? That's all you need. The kli is because we want to resemble the Kohen going to serve Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what it's like. I've often thought that that's also the reason for washing when leaving a cemetery. Right? We have this practice of washing when leaving a cemetery. So aside from any ruach ra'a potential considerations, there's this idea of going into life and going into avoda in life when leaving a beis olam, leaving a cemetery. So the key difference between the Rosh and the Rashba is, does one need a kli? But you could offer other differences as well, right? Let's say somebody slept with gloves on. Right? They slept with gloves on. They were cold, whatever it was. They're on a stakeout during the night, and they're very cold in the car, and their hands did not touch anything dirty when they were sleeping. So the Rosh would say, I guess you don't need to make a bracha. But the Rashba would say, no, you still do. You're going from being asleep to now being awake. You are now brand new. There are differences between the different explanations. And he writes, Ula halacha, the end of source Gimel, Ula halacha anutosim kishnei hata'amim l'chumra le'enyin netila. He says, we follow both reasons, l'chumra both ways. So even the person who says, I slept with gloves on, and therefore the Rosh doesn't apply, yeah, but the Rashba still applies. It doesn't make a difference. And if you found a case in which the Rashba doesn't pertain, but the Rush pertains also, let's say, I can give you a theoretical case, maybe this works, I'm not sure, but let's say a person slept for only a very brief period of time. So it wasn't enough time to be identified as a brand new creation. Let's pretend that half an hour is needed in order to be called that, but on the other hand, the hands could have touched something while he was sleeping, so then the Rosh will apply and the Rashba will not apply. We're going to be machmir both ways and say, netila with a bracha. Vimlo birech al netila sidam kodem atfila shublo yivarech achar atfila lekule alma. But he concludes by saying, and if a person didn't say al netila sidayim, then they davened, they don't say al netila sidayim afterwards. And the reason is because, again, the primary reason for al netila sidayim is because this washing is getting you ready for davening. Once you've davened already, that's no room for this bracha anymore.
When he says dirty, does he actually mean like actual filth? Because nowadays, you know, our standards of cleanliness, even if
As far as I know, we still sweat. Right?
Right.
I mean, you're going to say somebody showered before they went to bed, and therefore they're relatively clean. So I think we generally treat parts of the body that are normally covered as parts of the body where there will be some form of sweating that's going on and some form of stuff exuded, such that we're going to treat it as dirty rather than say that, well, it depends how much time has elapsed and, you know, start getting into distinctions like that.
Would the Rashba be incorporating also the Zohar's,
Rabbi, you're right here.
Zohar's opinion about the tumor and the mace, and therefore...
So the Rashba's point is different. If you mean Ruach Ra, the Rashba is not talking about Ruach Ra. No, he's not going there.
I thought it had to do with orifices of the body, like coughing on your hand or wiping your nose in the middle of
right,
the
night. Right, so not necessarily.
Oh, it's not.
Not necessarily. So this is what the Mishnah Berurah writes regarding why we wash our hands. And... you know, quoting the Rosh, quoting the Rashba, and then he adds in the reason of Ruach Ra in Source Dalet. He says, Yedaktek, one should be careful, ki chutz mehata'amim haniskarim b'sif katan aleph, because aside from what we mentioned in Source Gimel, right, the reason we gave there, shetzarach lito yadav letfila, sarach lito gam mishum Ruach Ra shor al hayadayim, there's also this weird Ruach Ra thing that we don't really understand. Ach, he says, Ruach Ra would not have required a bracha. There's no such thing as needing to wash before davening because of Ruach Ra. That's not a thing. So, therefore, there wouldn't have been an Alam Tehas Yadayim. That's why, in Source Gimel, he only brought those two other explanations, which are sufficient to warrant a bracha.
And the others may not have required
getting a draft here. Sorry?
The others required three washings to Ruach Ra.
Right. Ruach Ra triggers the requirement for the three and the back and forth and all of that, 100%. So it would appear. Maybe three, but not rotating? I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question.
And Ruach Ra is the reason why you only make a breath of the two of the chakras and not Minchamara.
Correct. I think that's generally the minhag. Is a person who washes going into Mincha does not say an Alam Tehas Yadayim in our I believe that's correct. So that all leads to the question of what if you didn't sleep, right? Now what? So the easy answer is wash and hear somebody else's bracha, right? If you wash when somebody else washes and they say Alam Tehas Yadayim and you answer Amen, so you're Yotzei. The Shulchan Aruch writes, and if you're looking at the Nishmas Avram now, you should have it, depending on which page, how it is in your edition. I have to flip to it in my edition. Depending on how it falls out, you may have it on the top. Like in the third edition, it appears at the top of the page. Yeah, you've got it there. In yours as well. The top line on the page is the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch there says, "Im haya ne'or kol halayla." If someone is awake all night long, "Yesh lehistapek im tzarach lito yodav shachris." It's Dalet Yud Gimel in Aruch Chaim. So he says, there's room to think that maybe you need to wash, maybe you don't. To remove the Ruach Ra. So he says it's unclear. And therefore the Rama says, V'yitlein below bracha. He says, wash, but don't make a bracha. So the Nishmas Avram weighs in on this. And if you take a look at the Nishmas Avram, it's Beis and then Gimel. Beis starts Kol Halayla. You see it? Okay. So, and for those who printed the sheet off of what I have online, you now have the link for the Nishmas Avram on there as well, at the top of the page. So hopefully that will be useful. Kol halayla, kigon rofei o achot betaranut layla. We're talking about a doctor, a nurse who is on call during the night. Vim yashen b'miktsasa, so if they sleep for part of the night, L'chule alma, everybody will agree, parentheses, da'ainu gam l'tam harash, yadayim askani yotein, v'gam l'tam harash ba, mishum sh'niya b'ya chadasha. Whether you say that we're washing because our hands get dirty, or whether you say you're washing because you became a new creature, either way, sarach l'tol yadav v'boker k'din, you will have a halachic obligation to wash if you slept at some point during the night. V'husha yashan shenas keva al mitaso, assuming that the sleeping that you did was fixed sleeping in your bed, proper sleep. Ulam im yashin shenas arai, but if a person only dozed off, they didn't have a full sleep, laharash dino bazek, kilo yashin klal. So the rush who said it's about hands getting dirty, he'll say, it looks like you didn't sleep at all, because he'll say, just the opposite of what I had said before about the person who slept very briefly, he'll say, I don't think your hands necessarily got dirty. Now the question is, what exactly is shenas arai? What does a temporary sleep look like? So in the footnote here, he refers you to the Mishnah Brura, and it's something we may need to come back to and discuss further. Is it half an hour? Is it shorter? It's something we have to discuss.
Is it potentially something that's subjective? Like, for example, Shana Sarai in my house might be different than Shana Sarai for a doctor on call, where it's kind of like standard that you sleep on a couch, you wouldn't sleep on your couch at home. You would sleep dressed if you get pajamas, right.
So,
but the doctor maybe that's
right.
Maybe considered.
So I have not seen Shenas Arai presented as subjective. I have seen it as situational in terms of where it's coming up in halacha. Meaning, Shenas Arai here means a sleep that was short enough that the rush says your hands wouldn't have gotten dirty. That's different from Shenas Arai that we'll get to with Elokai Neshama, where we're talking about, at a certain point, one is considered to have had their neshama leave their body and return, and that's a different shenas arai potentially. That's certainly an argument that I would want to make. But in truth, I'm not. I don't have the sources to support that.
Could shenas arai also be falling asleep fully clothed? Because it fits as far as.
Right.
You shenas arai, you're fully clothed. That's why your hands may not have gotten dirty.
Right. So that's not what he's saying with shenas arai, but it is definitely an argument to be brought. Yes, it is definitely an argument. Like when I said about sleeping with gloves on. Right. Same thing. So the Nishmas Avram right now is saying if you only had a nap, then the Rush is going to say you don't make a bracha. The Rashba is going to say you still need a bracha. If you take a look at Gimel, he goes further with this. When the Rama said, no bracha, if you were awake all night, so he says, Yesh me'achronim shecholkim ha'achras ha'rama bazeh, v'sovrim ditzarech levarech. He says, there are achronim who disagree with this conclusion of the Rama, and they say, even if you were awake all night, you still need the bracha. V'yesh ha'maskimim imo, but on the other hand, others agree with him. So now I really have a problem. Right now I've got, even in a case where there was no sleep, no nap, no nothing, there's still some who are going to require it. So what am I supposed to do? So, you know, I mentioned one answer already, which is just wash and hear someone else's bracha, and that could take care of it. In the event that you washed and you didn't make a bracha, you still fulfilled your obligation. So a person who said, I'm going to err on the side of caution, safek brachos lahakel, I'm not going to say the bracha, still fulfilled netilas yadayim. However, the Nishmas Avram goes on to bring a suggestion. And the suggestion is, use the bathroom. That's the suggestion. Sorry, I see I still have some Trentonians on. Use the washroom. But if you take a look at the Nishmas Avram, he gives you this other suggestion. He says, v'chol zeb below asat tzracha. What we're saying here is specifically where the person did not use the washroom. However, if somebody used the washroom before davening, then everybody's going to agree that you need to wash your hands and you need to make a bracha. That's what somebody who's up all night ought to do. Yaset Srachav, use the washroom. Oh, Yatil Mayim. Yaset Srachav there is being used to mean specifically to defecate. Yatil Mayim is to urinate. He says a person should do one or the other, be a shaf shaf. And the way that he does this should involve some contact with skin, such that he now has of the hands with skin, such that he has an obligation to wash. Shaz Lakulayama Yishayev Lavarech. then everybody will agree he has to make the bracha, v'yivarech al natilas yadayim, and he'll make al natilas yadayim, v'asher yatzar, and he gets asher yatzar in with the bargain. So that's a strategy to deal with it. Now, the Kaf HaChaim is not happy. We've seen the Kaf HaChaim before. The Kaf HaChaim, remember, is the Rav Sofer in the 19th century, a latter-day commentary to the Shulchan Aruch, collecting opinions from after the time of the Shulchan Aruch. We saw him bring in the Zohar last time when we were talking about the person who wakes up before dawn and wants to eat. So he says, Ulam ayim b'kaf ha'chaim she'enu b'varach amatilas yadayim kilonis chayiv ba. The Kaf HaChaim says no. The person who was up all night and used the washroom still does not make an amatilas yadayim on washing their hands because you didn't have an obligation. Miu birkas asher yatzar nagu l'chayiv atzmam k'dei lismoch birkas asher yatzar l'birkas alokai neshama. He says there's a different reason to use the washroom, which is for the sake of getting the asher yatzar. This takes us into a different issue. Normally, a bracha begins with magic words, right? Baruch atah Hashem. That's how brachas are supposed to start. However, sometimes you have a bracha which was created to be said in sequence with other brachos, in which case it doesn't need to start with Baruch atah Hashem because the previous bracha started with Baruch atah Hashem. So for example, in benching, right? Our second bracha in benching starts Noda Lecha because your first bracha already was Baruch atah Hashem. Or Shmona Esrei. You say Atachonein, Rifo'enu, and all these things. They don't start Baruch Atah Hashem because there was a bracha before it. Bracha smucha l'chaverta, a bracha that is next to a previous one, doesn't need to start Baruch Atah Hashem. Right? It raises interesting questions always regarding Tefillas HaDerech. Tefillas HaDerech doesn't start Baruch Atah Hashem. So many people will be careful to have some food before Tefillas HaDerech. They'll make their bracha achrona, and then they'll say Tefillas HaDerech, and that way they've got a link to a different bracha that started Baruch Atah Hashem. So, Elokai Neshama also does not start Baruch Atah Hashem. So it's understood by many that it was supposed to be said right after Asher Yatzar. That's the way it's designed. Even though you will find in various Siddurim, like the ones that I used growing up as a kid, they don't. They don't have it after Asher Yatzar. They move it to like after Birchas HaTorah. Nonetheless, many people do it that way, and the Kaf HaChaim says that's a legitimate reason to specifically use the washroom to trigger an Asher Yatzar so that you can say Elokai Neshama afterwards. And so is brought from other Sephardi posts. Gemiri brings the Birka Yosef, who is the Chida, the Rav Pa'alam, who is the Ben Ish Chai, as well as Rav Avadya Yosef. So it sounds like what we're saying here is that Ashkenazim, who are up all night, may want to use the washroom as a way to trigger an Al Natilas Yadayim obligation. It will not work for Sephardim, but it's a good idea to do it so that Asher Yatzar will go with Elokai Neshama. This assumes you're saying Elokai Neshama. That's where we're going next.
Do you ever consider saying Al Tzash Adayim and then not saying Baruch Atah Hashem Asher Yatzar Adam Ufachma?
But I don't understand.
In other words, drop the first bracha of Asher Yatzar.
Why? Why would you
just say Al Tzash Adayim?
Right, but why would you drop the opening? Oh, you mean turning it into bracha smucha l'chaverta.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand now. So the general principle is that brachos that happen to be adjacent to other ones don't get their structure changed. It's a bracha that was created to be adjacent to another one that has a different structure. Yeah, we don't amend them, no. Yeah.
Why do they hold a...
So I don't know. I didn't look up the Kaf HaChaim to see what he has to say. I suspect that the rationale is because... Actually, I think I did look up the Kaf HaChaim, come to think of it. I'm pretty sure I did look it up, and he didn't say. I did look into it. It doesn't say it there. But in any case, I think that there's a general reticence towards saying extra brachos as a general masor among Sephardi poskim. The most famous example of it is probably the idea of women making a bracha on a mitzvah from which they are exempt, where Ashkenazim say, sure, why not? And Sephardim say, oh, no, if you're exempt from the mitzvah, you can't say Asher Kedushanu Mitzvah Sevet Sivanu. You weren't Sivanu. So maybe this is along those lines.
Is there an objection to making a bracha? But Bamakor, you could make the bracha, except the bracha is a lot.
Okay, and let's say, I mean, that will apply equally to this and to that. These are all Asher Kedushanu cases. But you're saying, like, what? Like, you're saying Berchas HaNehenen would be different? Maybe. Maybe. It's an interesting thought. Tzarchim. Okay. So that's the rule for Netilas Yadayim, for someone who was up all night. What if somebody takes a nap during the day? So the Shulchan Aruch says, unclear. It's actually on the page that you have there, on the Nishmas Avram page. It's the second line in the Nishmas Avram, Dalet Tesvav, Yashen Bayom. If somebody sleeps during the day, Yesh Lehistapek Im Tzarech La'aros Mayim Aleim Gimel Po'amim, unclear whether they need to wash three times on each hand. They definitely are going to need to wash from the Rosh's perspective if there's a possibility their hands got dirty. But he says unclear that they need to wash three times, and the Rama says v'yitlein below bracha, wash without a bracha, and the Nishmas Avram says Ben Ishchai says that also. Okay. Elokai neshama. So first of all, we keep doing violence to this bracha every time we say Elokai neshama, right? Because that's not the bracha.
Elokai.
It's Elokai. Neshama shenasata bi, right? If you look at the heading I put on the sheet, I put the comma in there. It's Elokai, my God. The neshama you put into me, tahorahi, and so on. So that's, you know, nonetheless, we're going to go right on saying Elokai neshama, because the alternative is either to say Elokai, and you're not going to say that, or to say a whole line, and you're not going to do that, or to pause, which you're not going to do either. So we're just going to say it wrong, and that's the way it is. But this is a very important bracha. It's straight out of a Gemara in Brachos, which I brought you here in source Vav, talking about the bracha somebody makes in the morning. Ki misar, when somebody wakes up, Omer Elokai, neshama shenasata bi tahora, ata yitzarta bi, ata nefachta bi, right? Hashem, the neshama you gave me is tahor, you created it in me, you blew it into me, v'ata meshamra b'kirbi, you guarded in me, v'ata asid l'tzlami meni. And one day you're going to take it away. Lachzira bilasid lavo, but you're going to put it back in the future. As long as my neshama is in me, I thank you, Hashem. Ribon kol amim, adon kol neshamos. Baruchat Hashem, hamachzir neshamos lefgarim meisim. Right, largely the addition of the bracha that we say today. One nice note that I always like on this from Rav Cook in the Olas Re'iyah in Sor Zion, he points out this expression where you turn to Hashem and you say Elokai, my God, is a very personal way to do it. He says, Kriya Kedosha Zu Shekol Yachid Kore Bibitcha Es Hashem Betor Elokav HaMiyuchad VaPrati Elav. He says this holy call in which the individual calls with confidence on Hashem as his personal God, Hi Haba'as HaNeshama B'Mekoriyusa. He says that is the neshama expressing its identity, its original identity, its core identity. Himakira es atzma. It knows itself as chosna and its strength. Yodas she'uza mitziyusa chiyusa adena ulai? Edna? V'yish'a ach elokim chayim hu. It knows that its existence, its life, its rejuvenation, its salvation, all of it comes through Hashem. So it's a very personal, meaningful bracha, which, you know, frankly, we would all appreciate more if we weren't saying it when we were sleeping still. But it's really a beautiful and intimate bracha.
What does Modani accomplish? It's almost exactly the same, only you mentioned God's name because you didn't wash yet.
Right.
But you're doing almost the exact same thing. You're talking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're thanking him personally in a personal response here.
Right. It's true. I remember when I was in Keren B'Yavne, so Rav Blachman was very big then. He's still very big now. But I wasn't in his shir. But I remember once in some Dvar Torah he gave somewhere, or he substituted for my Rebbe or whatever it was. So he told the story about his Rebbe, who was a Lubavitcher when he was growing up. And he said that that his Rebbe apparently had a deep Chicago accent. Or it was just Blachman's own accent, but he said that there was one day where he went in and he said to the talmidim, he said, "Did you say Moda'ani this morning?" I'm not going to do the accent. Did you say Moda'ani this morning? And they all said yes. And he said, "Du bist a ligna," which means you're a liar. And du bist a ligna.
A ligna.
Yeah, I am not a Yiddish speaker, but that I think is correct. He said, "Du bist a ligna," and he said, "Yeah, du bist a ligna." is you don't know how to be modeh, you don't know who ani is, and you for sure don't understand lefanecha. Just because you mentioned the importance of modeh ani. It's a very deep statement, a little rude to say to little kids.
You don't understand menasecha either.
Yeah. Let's get with the first three words. Yeah. In any case, So this bracha of Elokai Neshama is meant to be said when you get up in the morning and your neshama is restored to you. But what if you didn't sleep? What do you think? Without seeing the sources, without discussing, just what do you think? You say Elokai Neshama or not? Tova says yes. Why? Why not? Why would that matter? I mean, it has a Baruch Hashem at the end, right? Yeah.
It depends what the Mechayev is.
Meaning?
Meaning, was it just set up in the morning for the general condition where you normally sleep?
Ah.
But it's part of like regular like Berachos Hashachar? Or is it that the actual sleeping is what triggers the Chiyuv to say Elokai Neshama?
Right. So I'm
not
100% sure.
You didn't sleep, you're not lying.
Right, every word of it is true.
Every word is true.
My neshama that you put it to me is tahor, and so on. It still is all still true.
No lie.
I'm not sure if this is what Jeffrey is saying, but the question fundamentally is this bracha about my personal experience of sleeping, or is it about what Hashem created? Hashem created sleep. Hashem puts the neshamos into people, and Hashem puts the neshamos back into people after they sleep. Right? Whatever putting it back into a person means, restoring the connection between neshama and body such that they function together again where they didn't while the person was sleeping. So is it about me or is it just God does this overall? So if you take a look at source number Ches, source Ches is talking about the brachos that are made in the morning. Kol ha-brachos ho-elu, all of the berachas ha-shachar, im lo nischayev be'achas mehen, if a person is not personally obligated in one of them, kigon, shelo shama kol tarnagol, he didn't hear the rooster crow, right? So he doesn't say, anosein le-sechvi vina, because he didn't hear the rooster crow. Sechvi does not actually refer to a rooster, that's a side note, but worth knowing, it refers to the mind, but that's its own discussion. It's still supposed to be said when you hear the rooster crow, so you didn't hear it, so maybe you shouldn't say the bracha. That's one case. O shlo halach, or he didn't walk, so he's not going to say hamechin mitzadei gaver because he didn't walk. O lo lavash, he didn't put on clothing. He's not going to say malbish arumim. O lo chagar, he didn't put his belt on. He can't. And so ozer yisrael begvura. So omer osa bracha below haskaras hashem. So the Shulchan Aruch says, and if this is another example of reticence regarding brachos, but the Mechaber says, don't say God's name in that bracha. And the Rama says no. Some say no, you make the bracha anyway. The bracha is not about you. The bracha is that Hashem is overall hamechin mitzadei gaver. Hashem overall enables people to walk. Hashem overall gives people clothing. And so on and so on. It's not about you personally. Dana bracha davka al atzmo. The bracha is not about you personally. The bracha is that Hashem created, furnished the needs of the world. The Rama says that's what we do. We say these brachos even if they do not apply to us personally. So, for example, to give one that unfortunately is common, an avel does not wear leather shoes. And yet, an avos has the bracha of she'asali kol tzarki, which is about wearing shoes, because people have shoes. Even though the language of the bracha is she'asali, you gave me all of my needs, which is shoes. Nonetheless, so there is a discussion on Tisha B'Av as to whether one does or does not. But I wouldn't say we don't. I don't know that. I don't know what the minhag is in Eitz Chaim. Some don't. Okay. So the language is understood here by the Rama to be global. Now, he didn't say anything about Elokai Neshama. I would argue Elokai Neshama sounds very personal. Neshama Shnasata B, right? the neshama you put into me is tahor. You didn't say the neshamos you put into people in general are tahor. So based on this Rama, I would have said you do not say it. But the Shari Tshuva says no. The Shari Tshuva of Margolios in source Tess says no. He says, Bahach bracha de hama'avir shena, the bracha of hama'avir shena me'enai, where you say, thank you God for removing sleep from my eyes, yesh ledakdei k'tzas. He says, you should examine that a little. Kevin sha'omer al atzmo, you say it about yourself, hama'avir shena me'al enai usnuma me'al af apai, thank you God for taking sleep from my eyes. Im kein, kevin shalo yashan balayla, ein makom la mirazu. If you didn't sleep, then you can't say this. You can't say it's about the fact that people in general wake up. The language is personal. But not so for Elokai Neshama. That's not personal. What do you mean? Because you could say, Hamachazir Neshamos, Lifgarim Mesim, is global. Right? It's general. It's not about me personally. So you can make the argument that it actually is global. That's number one. Number two, the language may actually not matter. The truth is, the language may actually not matter. And now we come back to the case I just gave you, Shas Ali called Sarki. If you take a look at source Yud, the tour says, I want to see how I did this. What did I do? Oh, I see why. No, I didn't bring in the next source. It's not on the sheet. The Prima Gadim, it's not on here. The Prima Gadim in Orachayim Memvav, Eshal Avram Beis, points out that Sha'as Ali Kaltzarki is personal, and yet he says a shoeless person, forget the Avel Tishba case, a person who doesn't have shoes is still supposed to say Sha'as Ali Kaltzarki, even though the language is personal. The Bir Halacha says it regarding Hamapil. Even if someone is personally insomniac, they're still supposed to say hamapil when they lie down in bed and try to go to sleep.
What if a person is blind?
So they're still supposed to say pekeach ivrim. But pekeach ivrim is more clear, because pekeach ivrim is very clearly global
praying,
language.
Maybe you'd be praying that Hashem would now make him
That's interesting.
Asleep.
Turn it into a bakasha. Maybe. But what I think they're trying to tell us is, I don't care if it's personal language or global language. It doesn't make a difference. These brachas are overall for people to say. And now we get to the tour that's in Source Yud, where the tour groups Elokai Neshama with all the other brachos that are generic. All the brachos that are about the way the world functions. Kigon, Elokai Neshama, Hanosein Lesachvi, Roka Ha'aratz Alamayim, Hamechem Mitzarei Gaver, Ein Lachasem Mehem, Afilo Shama Kol Tarnago, Olo Halach Al Ha'aretz. He says all these brachos, and he includes Elokai Neshama, you don't drop any of them, even though the experience doesn't apply to you. As opposed to, Osam Shem Al Ha'ana Osav, those that are about enjoyment, that lo yavarech lo nana, don't make the bracha if you didn't benefit from it. And he gives the example of Malbish Arumim and Ozer Yisrael Begvura. So it's very interesting. He's willing to knock out some other ones, but he's not willing to knock out Elokai Neshama. Bottom line, where do we go with this? Poskim are on the fence. Firmly on the fence. If you take a look at Source Yud Aleph, the Mishnah Berurah, quotes Elio Rabba, Shekasav, Debirchas Elokai Neshama, Ubirchas Amavir Shena, Ein Levarech, Imhaya Ne'er Kol Alayla. Mishnah Berurah first quotes the Elio Rabba saying, don't make the bracha. Or Prima Gadim, Shari Tshuva, Hishiru Dvaru B'tzarech Yu. And the Prima Gadim and Shari Tshuva said, and not so sure. Umasik B'Shari Tshuva, Diera, Lishmoa, Elu Shtei Abrachos, La'at Me'acher, V'chabin Latzeis. And the Shari Tshuva says, you know what? I'd rather you just hear Elokai Neshama and Amavir Shena from somebody else. Right? That's what we do, Shavuos morning. Right? In many shuls, they'll have somebody who slept make those brachos, make the brachos in general. If you slept 60 winks, 60 breaths, which we have to talk about, then you make the bracha. Okay, so far so good. But the poskim are very much on the fence, and so they say better to hear it from somebody else. What if you don't have somebody else? So the Aruch HaShulchan and the Piskei Tshuvos say, then say it yourself. That's what they end up with. They say that you should say the bracha on your own. What about a person who took a daytime nap? right? We keep talking about the person who's on call during the night and awake all night. What about the person who took a nap during the day? So the Beis Yosef says, if you look in Yud Beis, Kasav ha'agur, he quotes the Agur. Agur is early Ashkenaz. Simon Gimel, B'shem Rabbeinu Yehuda Mishpayer, Shekasher Ne'or Mishnaso Shalshenas Hayom, Sarach Levarach Elokai Neshama. The Agur says, the person who wakes up from a nap during the day makes the bracha of Elokai Neshama Shenasata B'taho Rehi. That's a very interesting statement. It sounds to me, then, that he would say regarding Tilas Yadayim that you definitely need to wash with a bracha. He would say, the Rashba will say, you're a new Bria, you're a new creation. Otherwise, why are you saying Elokai Neshama? The two should go together. V'chein kasta b'shibolei aleket b'shem Rabbeinu Simcha v'harav Rabbeinu Avigdor HaKohen. He quotes you two other Ashkenazim, the Shibolei aleket and, well, the Shibolei aleket quoting Rabbeinu Simcha and Avigdor HaKohen v'lo no'agukein. And then he says, yeah, but we don't do that. Beis Yosef says we don't actually say this after a nap, and the Rama says, yeah, we don't do that after a nap. Why not? So the Shita Mekubetzes in Yud Gimel quotes the Ravid to say the reason is because of a Ravid Zal. The Einum of Varech Elu Abrachos Ela B'Shachris. These are only Shachris brachos. Aval Yashin Bayom, if you sleep during the day, Afilu Harbe, even if you slept a lot during the day, Ke'ein Balayla, as much as you sleep at night. Einu mevarech mehen klum. You don't make any of these. Not any of the berachas hashachar. Not alokai neshama. Shelo niskinu al hanos atzmo bilvad ela al noheg shaba olam gamkein. Because these brachos are not about your personal enjoyment. They're about what happens in the world. And sleep is generally a nighttime activity.
So a shift worker would not be saying these brachos?
That's what he's telling you. That's what he's telling you.
That's a person's regular job, but then he works at night and sleeps in the day.
Yeah, he's going to say no. You have to hear from somebody else. Yeah. That's pretty intense. The big question is, what about if you're at the polls and it's never dark? I mean, you'd have to go based on whatever the standard nighttime is. Those who read Torat Chaim this past Shabbos about Arctic davening, that came into the discussion there.
I thought I saw it somewhere, yeah.
Sorry?
Yeah, I saw it in your...
Yeah, that's what you saw it. I don't blame you for not remembering since Shabbos. I made up the source sheet last night, and there are things on here I forgot.
So many other things that came through.
Okay. Last part for tonight. Berachos HaTorah. So we say Berachos HaTorah in the morning, and it covers our learning for the day. Right? That's a classic vart, right? That the when you stop learning Torah during the day, it doesn't end your Berachos HaTorah, because everything that you're doing is for the sake of getting back to learning. Good. The sorry? Hey. Yisroel Kadoshim Hayim. So when exactly does that end? When does the whole you don't say, I said Berachos HaTorah and a month ago, and now I'm just coasting on the basis of Berachos HaTorah. How does that end? So the answer is machlokes. We have two different views. First view, which is brought in the tour in Soros Yadalid, quoting his father, the Rush, is that it's when a person sleeps. He says, Einu tzarech levarech kol hayom. You don't need to make a new Berachos HaTorah all day long. Imu ragil tamid lasok b'torah, if he generally learns Torah. Vav kishe yotze la'asakav, and even when he goes out for business, memar la'asas tzarecha k'tesh yachzer lilmod. He rushes through his activities so he can go back to learning. Lo chashiv hefsek le'inyan bracha. So then these other activities do not count as a hefsek. Ve'afim lo made balayla. And even if he learns that night, halayla holech achar hayom. Right? When you came to the shiur tonight, you didn't make a new Berachos HaTorah. The Berachos HaTorah that you made this morning are still effective. Because the night follows the previous day. Ve'enu tzarech lachzor ulevarach. You don't need a new bracha. Kol zman shalo yashan. As long as you didn't sleep. V'im yashan, however, if you slept, kasav adoni avi zal b'tshuva she'ela sha'af bayom im yashin shenes keval mitaso havi hefzik v'tzarech lachzor levarech. The Rosh said, if you sleep, whether during the day or at night, a real sleep, not just you dozed off during the shiur, but like you really slept, you know, he says a permanent sleep on, not permanent, but a real sleep on one's bed, he says you're making a new Berachos HaTorah. We don't necessarily hold that way, but that's what he says. That sleep terminates Berachos HaTorah. That's the Rosh brought in the tour, and you see it in the Shulchan Aruch in Soros Tezvav. He doesn't not talk about the daytime nap now, but he says, Afim lamad balayla, if a person learns Torah at night, halayla holech achar hayom sha'avar, it goes with the previous day. Ve'enu tzarech la'achzor levarech kozman shelo yashan. You don't need a new bracha as long as you didn't sleep.
Tosfos holds different?
That's where we're going now.
Oh, okay.
Tosfos agrees. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't.
Well, Rabbeinu Tam.
So your first school of thought is sleep ends Birchas HaTorah. Second school of thought is indeed, as Dr. Block anticipates, Rabbeinu Tam. If you take a look at source Tezayin, Tosfos and Brachos, Vaya Omer Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam used to say, Kisha Adam Omer Mimitaso Balayla, parentheses Bishachris. Rabbeinu Tam used to say, if somebody gets up from his bed at night, parentheses in the morning, but it actually doesn't matter for our purposes. The point is that it's after nightfall. Person went to bed and then got up. Lilmo to learn. She'enu tzarech levarach berachas haTorah, v'mnei she'berachas haTorah shel etmol shachris poteres ad shachris acheres. He says, you do not need berachas haTorah yet. It's only if, well, that's where the b'shachris word gets into trouble. So maybe I should eliminate that word b'shachris. He says, then the beginning of the next day is where your duty to make a new Berachas HaTorah begins. So whatever time, I'm going to work with Alos HaShachar. So let's pretend for the moment that Alos HaShachar is 5:50 a.m. So my Berachas HaTorah that I made this morning is good until 5:50 a.m. tomorrow. And then whether I slept or not doesn't make a difference. I could be learning Torah at 5:49 a.m. At 5:50 a.m. I have to pause, make Berachas HaTorah, and then keep on going. That's Rabbeinu Tam's position. And Tosis concludes with two words in Source Tezayin, V'lo Nehira, this does not appear to be correct. Tosis does not like it. Rabbeinu Tam said it. It takes guts to disagree with Rabbeinu Tam, I have to tell you. But nonetheless, that's what he says. The Beis Yosef quotes Poskim of early Ashkenaz following Rabbeinu Tam's position in the case of a daytime nap, and saying, you don't make Berachas HaTorah after a daytime nap because you made it this morning, and it counts throughout the day and the following night. Yud Zayin, because of Od HaAgur, he brings you more from the Agur. This is our second Agur today. She'aviv Zal Hinik Shalo Levarich Bayom Afilu Achar Shenas Keva. His father did not make Berachas HaTorah during the day, even after a full sleep. V'chein Roy Lasos, and that's appropriate. Ki Amekil B'Brachos B'Makom Sheish Machlokes Harezelo Hivsid Ki HaBrachos Einer Me'akvos, because he, the Agur, said, if you're lenient with Brachos in a case with his Machlokes about whether to say them, you didn't lose anything, because whatever mitzvah you did is valid even without having said the Bracha. Now that's actually a startling thing to say, because Davka with Berachas HaTorah, we say if you didn't make the Bracha, it's a very bad thing. Right? I said to you before, you washed Netilas Yadayim, your Yotze, whether you made a Bracha or not. But with Birchas HaTorah, we actually do believe it's a bad thing to not do that. But that's the Agur's statement. So the Beis Yosef now weighs in, and he says, V'yesh l'smoa, you should be shocked. Daha bein laharash, bein l'rabinu simcha, bein laharam, this is the Maharam, sheina havi hafsik, v'lo chazin en manda palagalayu. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. The Rush, who we quoted in Source Yudalid, and Rabbeinu Simcha, who I think we mentioned at some point, they and the Maharam, they all believe that sleep does end Birchas HaTorah. V'lo chazina manda pala galayu. I didn't know anybody who disagreed. The efshar shetama mishum du Rabbeinu Tama filu shenas kol halayla lo avi hafsek moshech tov b'samoch. He says, you know what? I think it's because they follow Rabbeinu Tam. And Rabbeinu Tam says sleeping, even all night, is not an interruption. So granted, we don't follow him, because everybody disagrees with him. That's only sleeping at night. But if you sleep during the day, we are concerned for his position, and we don't make a new Berachas HaTorah. That is the minhag, not to make Berachas HaTorah after a daytime nap. So I have two different positions. One position says that Berachas HaTorah ends when you sleep. The other one says Berachas HaTorah ends no matter what when the next morning begins. Practical difference. Again, the doctor on call during the night. So what do they do? Do they make Berachas HaTorah in the morning when they didn't sleep? So here we get the Nishmas Avram. Nishmas Avram Mem Zayin Aleph. And again, for those who downloaded the source sheet, you have the link there for the Nishmas Avram if you don't already have it. So he says, Shalo Yashan, he's commenting on the line in the Shulchan Aruch, which we saw in Source Tesvav, where he said there, the night goes with the previous day, and if you didn't sleep, you don't make a new bracha. So he comments on that. He says, Misha Yaneir Kol HaLayla, somebody who was up all night, Kigon Rofei B'Taranut Ocholeh, like somebody who was on call, or the patient, for that matter. Yesh Omrim De'enu Tzarech Levarach HaBoker. So some say he does not have an obligation to make the bracha in the morning. V'yesh Omrim De'tzarech Levarach. And some disagree and say, no, you do. Ki Kabu Chachamim Bracha Zu B'chol Yom Dum Yudashar Berchas HaShachar. Because this bracha is meant to be said daily, just like all the other Berchas HaShachar. V'savik Brachos LaHakel. Ach im efsherlo, here's your first solution, if possible. Yeroy lishmo berchas atarame achir. You should hear from somebody else. V'yomar lo shechavin lahotzio me'abah brachos. You should tell him to be motzi you in the bracha. V'hu yechavin lotzeis v'yana amen. You answer and say amen. V'yomar achkach eze psukim. And then you say some psukim, k'dei she'enach shavlo b'makom limud. That will be your learning. The assumption is that berchas atarah only works if you actually do some learning after you say Berachas HaTorah. So you have to say some psukim, right? Like we do Yibracha Yair Yisa, and we do Elu Dvar. Whether you have to say Mishnah or Gemara, we may come to in a minute. Oh, alternatively, second solution, Yechabe Latzeis Berachas Ahava Rabba. You should have in mind that Ahava Rabba, the bracha before Kriya Shema, will count. Because we say in Ahava Rabba, V'sein B'li Benu L'Havan L'Haskil L'Lilmodu L'Lameh Lishmor V'Lasas, we talk about learning Torah. That bracha can count. V'yilmo Tekef Me'at Achreshi Yisayim Tfilaso, and then immediately after you finish davening, you do whatever learning you're going to do as to for Berachas HaTorah. V'ayim B'Shulchan Aruch HaRab Shekosei V'arotza L'Tzes Yidei Safek Yishma Berachas HaTorah Me'achav Yisgavin L'Tzes Yidei Chavaso Em'efshar. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, says if you want to avoid doubt, you should hear it from somebody else and have in mind that it's for you too. And if you can't, then fine, hear it, do it yourself. That's what he writes. He brings one more note here, which I wasn't sure we'd have time for, but we did get up to it. Jumping to the next column where it says in bold, Kasavli Agon Harishon Letzion Rav Avadia Yosef Shlita. I don't know if you have it in the first edition. Does he have a little further along a quote from Rav Avadia? I don't know. He has here as a letter written to him specifically. It could be it got published afterwards.
He said read what he wrote on the Haros of Al-Safri.
Okay. Oh, I see. Oh, in the Ha'aros. No, but it may be in the back then. In the back, he would have the Ha'aros from Rav Avadia. I don't know if it's each volume or if it's at the end of the set, but that's what he means. That's what he's telling you. In any case, he quotes, yeah, because you know what? He actually says, Kasev li harishon letzion hagon Rav Avadia Yosef Shlita beha'ara la madura kama. So it was a note on the first edition. Okay. So he says, Havi besov devar of la halacha divrei hagon Rabbi Kiva Eger shem yashin biyom shenas keva uba laila sha'achra vayaneir kol halayla l'kuli amat tzarech levar b'chaz haTorah. He says something which we haven't discussed. Rabbi Kiva Eger says that if somebody slept during the day, okay, today was Monday, right? It was Monday. It felt like Sunday, but today was Monday. So so let's say you had somebody during the day, they took a nap. Then they were up all night Monday night. Sorry? There you go. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says, in a situation like that, you make Berachas HaTorah in the morning. That everybody will agree you make Berachas HaTorah in the morning in that situation because you have sleep and you have the arrival of a new day. Even though the sleep that you did was not at night. That's a classic Rabbi Akiva Eger. People rely on that Shavuos night. So he says, "L'kulei amat tzarach levarich berachas haTorah." Everybody agrees you need to. Shebirchas avas olam shel arvis. Now this is the key line. Shebirchas avas olam shel arvis eina potarto imlo lamad miyad achar atfila. Rav Avadia says, actually, Rabbi Akiva Eger says that you might have thought that shouldn't work. This idea that you nap during the day should not work. Why? Because you nap during the day and then you daven Maariv. When you daven Maariv, you said the bracha before Shmona Esrei, before Shema. Ki heim chayenu ba'orach yamenu, that should be, just like Ahava Rabbah, that should count as Berachos Kriyash, as Berachos HaTorah. Why didn't, the same way that Ahava Rabbah in the morning can count as Berachos HaTorah, why can't Ahavas Olam at Mariv count as Berachos HaTorah? That's the question. That's what he wants to know. So he says, Rabbi Akiva Eger says, it doesn't count unless you learn after davening. So now Rav Avadya says, "V'lechorei yesh lahakshos." You should ask. Sherei kasav harashba b'chidushav. Actually, you know what? You have to read it the other way. Sorry, and it's 8:26, so I don't know if we'll get to it. But take a look at the last source on your sheet. I brought it on the sheet just in case. It's Yerushalmi. Shmuel Amar. Shmuel says, "Hishkim lishnos." If you get up early in the morning to learn Torah, kodem kriyashma tzarech levarech. So you're going to need to. If you haven't yet said Shema and you want to learn Torah, then you're going to need to make Berachas HaTorah. La'achar kriya Shema enu tzarech levarach. But if you already said Shema, then you don't need to say Berachas HaTorah because Ava Rabba counted. And then you get the key words. Amar Rabbi Ba. Rabbi Abba says, V'hu sheshana al atar. That's our addition. That assumes that you were shoneh while you were still there. What does shoneh mean? Means to learn Torah. However, Rav Avadya says there are two additions. One addition is shekara, that you read al-atar, which means reading psukim. Psukim are sufficient. The other addition, which is our addition, is sheshana. It isn't enough to have psukim. You need to learn Torah Shebaal Peh in order for it to actually count, like we do Elu Dvarim. So he says here, this is his point, he says the Rashba writes, I'm going to say it outside because I don't think you have enough of the text to those who, even those who printed off the Nishmas Avram. The Rashba writes, quoting the Ravid, that the addition in the Yerushalmi is Shekara Alatar, that you just have to say Psukim. And if you said Psukim, then it does work because there are Psukim that follow Avas Olam. Sorry?
But you're saying that I would have thought Shishana meant that he slept.
Right, so it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It definitely does not. That would be Sheyashan. So his point is, if it says Shekara, then Shema counted. Shema already did it. Whereas if you say Sheshana, then Shema didn't do it. See, there's a whole thing here about whether you need to do Mishnah or Gemara. So it's already 8:28. We're not going to go through the whole thing. But it's a very interesting piece that he brings on this. And a question I hadn't thought of why doesn't Avas Olam count the same way that Ava Rabba does? Okay. God willing, next week? Are we on for next week, January 1st? No one will be, out partying or anything? We're good? That was the night before? Okay. Shkoyach. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you, Rabbi.